Episode 12 of Offbeat Tracks is kicking off right now. My name's Max. Hello.
I'm Danielle.
You found did a way to make it not rhyme.
I was wondering why you were, like, I saw the look on your face. The wheels were turning.
I just came up with that.
Planning.
I just came up with that.
There it is.
How are we doing this morning?
You know, I've got my Red Bull. I'm here.
All right. Well, we decided to do a mildly timely episode because we saw a pretty goddamn fantastic concert a couple weeks ago, didn't we?
We did. Taylor Dayne, my dog's first concert.
That's right. It was your dog's first concert.
She wanted to go. I didn't even want to go.
Was this your first Taylor Dayne concert?
Yes, I think.
This was my second.
When did you see her before?
When she was here for Pride 6 years ago.
Oh.
Yeah, Taylor loves Louisville. I think she even said something about that during the set.
Yeah, she said that. She comes for Derby, apparently.
Yes, she does. She's a big fan. Big fan of Louisville. So yeah, we decided to talk about Ms. Taylor Dayne, real name Leslie Wunderman.
Yes.
And her fabulous, if not short, top 40 career.
Yeah, but it's filled with a lot of hits.
A lot of hits in a very short amount of time. Yes,
yeah.
It's true. So Taylor is from New York.
Yeah.
She's a New York girl.
Yeah, Manhattan. Long Island.
I think, somewhere in New York. I thought she
was from Manhattan. Yeah, it's like all around. I think she might have been born there, but I think she was raised in Long Island.
But yeah, she's a New York girl, which is funny because when she talks, like, you don't really get that. She doesn't really sound like the New York kind of.
No, but I can tell in her attitude.
Oh, yeah, the attitude for sure.
Yeah. But, she doesn't have, like, an overwhelming presence of accent.
No, I was surprised to when I looked up to see that she's from New York, but whatever. Yeah, and she started at a fairly young age singing. It was pretty quick out of school because those first hits that she had, 1987 and whatnot, she was only 21, 22 years old, I think.
Yeah, I actually read something about how she was she kind of like started in high school because her boyfriend had a band, and so she sang with them, and then like they got mad at her because apparently like
because she
the
sang
way
better.
That she the way that she phrased it was that she sang better than they rocked. Which is pretty fantastic way of
which is true. I mean, the woman has an incredible voice.
She does. I mean, I don't know how hard they rocked, but I know what your average high school band level of rocking
without a doubt. Taylor Dayne probably could have sung Circles Around Them.
Yeah, so. I mean, that's what she says. It's her story. She's sticking to it, but
Taylor got a little gig with like a local New York record label. I did not know this till doing this research that she had albums before her first big one on Arista there. But yeah, in 1985 and 86, she released a couple of singles called "I'm the One You Want" and "Tell Me You Can Love Me." Had you heard these songs before?
No.
Pretty amazing stuff. I don't think they would be too indicative of where her sound was going to go. And well, remember her as I mentioned briefly, her real name is Leslie Wunderman.
Mm-hmm.
So she released these under the name Les Lee,
yes,
like Lesslee, which is like a super super like 80s.
Yeah. When I remember her Behind the Music, because there was Behind the Music on Taylor Dayne, and this is like one of those things that I heard when I was like 13 and always remembered. She actually got a gig when she got discovered. She had like a recurring gig at a Russian nightclub in Brighton Beach. Like that was like her people.
Really?
Yeah, they like for some reason the Russians in Brighton Beach loved them some Leslie Wunderman. And so she ended up getting like discovered at this like Russian gig that she had. She would just sing like Russian songs all the time. And
that's hilarious.
Recognized her.
I
it's a real thing from her Behind the Music, and I never forgot it. I don't think I remember one single thing from that Behind the Music other than
so was this
Russians
during,
loved her.
Was this during the Leslie years, I guess?
I think she was still Leslie Wunderman. I don't know. That might have been even pre-Leslie.
Okay.
Like,
The first Leslie single was 1985.
Yeah, I don't know the years.
And that first one, "I'm the One You Want," is like kind of a house song. It was like house music.
Really?
Yeah. Which I guess is where Taylor would end up like three albums later.
Yeah, yeah.
But definitely not what we would hear on the first two. Very interesting.
And apparently when she had the name change after she got discovered, and apparently she was friends with, of all people, Dee Snider from Twisted Sister.
They look like they could be sisters.
Yeah, but it was just like, of all people, it was like, yeah, he was the one who was like, you need to change your name. This name sucks. And so, yeah, he's just like, you need to change your name.
Really?
So, yeah, I can't remember. Like, he helped her come up with it. And so,
that's almost
so
kind of sad.
Taylor Dane. Dee Snider's the shit, by the way. If you don't know a lot about Dee Snider, he's really awesome.
He was in a Pee Wee Herman movie, so he can't be bad.
He's really funny. He's super smart.
And he fought against Tipper Gore and her bullshit.
Yeah,
so.
that was when he became that. They also have a very good Behind the Music. Oh, I should have my own podcast just recounting all of the dumb things I remember from Behind the Music in the 90s, because you can't really stream it anywhere.
No, it's true. You could have a podcast doing Behind the Music.
Behind the Music. Things I've learned when I was 10.
So this second single, I just want to touch on this real quick. Leslie, the second Leslie single is called Tell Me Can You Love Me. And it was more of a freestyle song, but similar vein to the first one. We're talking like a year apart here. We're still a year from her Aerostar debut, but
yeah,
unlike anything we would hear. And those both released on an indie label in New York.
Wow. Yeah, probably. Probably she was hanging out with those Russians.
...1987 rolls along, Taylor gets signed to Arista Records, and they just blow her right out of the water with her debut album, Tell It to My Heart.
Yep.
Which still perplexes me that Tell It to My Heart is, like, I guess her most known song?
Why does it perplex you? I don't know. Do you think, like, the other stuff because sounds more hitty?
Yeah, well, not that. I mean, I think Tell It to My Heart is hit-y, but I think that there are other songs that are more iconic. But, well, anyway, we'll get to that. Tell It to My Heart is a great song, obviously.
I think, like, everyone knows that. Yeah. Everyone's at least heard it.
I was surprised by that. I mean, when we saw her, you know, the drag queen that was introducing her is doing, like, my least favorite thing when you go to any kind of retro show to ramp up the crowd. They're like, hey, we have this artist who's flown all the way here to do something. Hey, remember that one hit they had? Yeah, that was a good song, right? Let's talk about that. I'm like, that's so disrespectful. Stop doing that.
Yeah, I hate see that. I don't know. I think, like,
it's like you're holding a piece of paper. You have her Wikipedia article in front of you. You don't know anything about her. Shut up and let her get on the stage.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I don't know. Maybe they just assume that no one knows them when they're not headlining.
Yeah, so why would they be standing there in the audience to see her? You
That's
know?
Very true.
It's like, we know more than you do.
There were some guys in the audience who I think, like, had no idea who she was. They were just like, who's singing on this stage? And then they were like, this is pretty good. Yeah, I don't think they knew who that was.
Well, she made fans that day, I guarantee it.
Oh, yeah. We all had fun.
Yeah. Tell It to My Heart, 1987. Big hit for her. Chops. Charts top 10, basically across the whole world and universe.
Oh, yeah. Huge song.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge if, like, people who don't care about 80s know that song. And everyone knows that song. Everyone. Don't write to me and say that you don't know the song. You know the song.
Don't write to her anyway. We have an email address.
No, don't write to me.
Right.
What? Oh, yeah.
No.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Send us an email. And then,
yes. Email her all your grievances.
And then I'm going to automatically reply to you with...
Tell it to her inbox.
Tell it.
The next single that would come out was Prove Your Love, which I think Prove Your Love's probably my favorite.
I think
this
it's
album.
A more fun dance song. I like to listen to Prove Your Love more.
Yeah.
And tell it to
she
my
did
heart.
This song when we saw her live, too. I was very excited. Mm-hmm. Was not expecting that.
You didn't expect Prove Your Love?
I didn't. I didn't expect Prove Your Love. Only because there are bigger hits, even on this album. So I don't know. I was not expecting that. But that's cool. That's
yeah.
Really cool. Yeah, great song. More freestyle, definitely. More of a tapping into the freestyle that was going on at
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, but it's like it's a lot like Tell It to My Heart, and then it's got that very hooky chorus.
Yeah, it's very, very poppy freestyle.
If
but
you
it's
listen
definitely
to it, it's
like,
in your head.
I would call Prove Your Love a freestyle song. It's got that it's got that syncopated shuffle beat, so I think by definition it's kind of freestyle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'll give you that. You're
Taylor drops a ballad for the third single on this record, I'll Always Love You.
Mm-hmm.
There is a comedian named Tig Notaro,
yes,
who has a fabulous story about repeatedly meeting Taylor Dayne.
What a lucky lady.
And she presents this this story for, it was some kind of NPR gig that she does it. But anyway, we'll put the video up, but you got to watch it, because now every time I hear this song, I think of Tig Notaro's story.
Yeah, I think it was in her, I think it was one of her stand-up comedy things that came in, but NPR did a whole entire special on it. I think it was maybe This American Life.
I think you're right, because Ira Glass
talked about it. That's how I heard it.
I think Ira Glass introduces it. Yeah, but anyway, we'll put that video up and let you watch it. It's a good watch.
It's pretty good.
And
I love your voice.
I'll Always Love You is a fabulous ballad.
Yes, it is very good.
She would have a better ballad in 2 years, but we'll get there. I absolutely love this last single, Don't Rush Me. Great song. It's just like, this is like if you synthesized 80s pop in a lab, like this is what you would end up with.
Yeah, Don't Rush Me is my favorite.
It is like everything that is great about 80s pop music, or 1988 pop music, we should say. Yeah, it's just great song.
Yeah, this was my favorite one. I was dancing the hardest to this one at the concert because it's my favorite. And it was at that point that my dog looked up at me and sat on my foot like, stop dancing, you idiot. She just looked up at me like, Mom, this song sucks. Yeah, no, it's a very good
song.
And
she was wrong.
Yeah, my dog is an idiot. She doesn't know anything. Only time will tell. Just how well I'll get to know you. Don't mean to lead you on, but I want to take it slowly. So don't rush me. I made that mistake before. Don't rush me.
So all four singles off the first album all go top 10.
Oh, yeah.
She had two Huge. Number sevens, a number three, and a number two.
Huge.
Yeah, big. I mean, so Taylor Dayne is riding the success wave big time at this point. 1988 was like her year.
I don't know if she was ever one of those stars where she was like, you know, like one of those Madonna stars where you're bigger as yourself than your songs. I just think her songs were just everywhere.
It's true. I totally agree with you. The singles were everywhere. They were on the radio. And, well, I'll wait to tell that story till we get a couple singles deeper here. But something about that.
Something
anyway,
to look forward to.
Yeah. Taylor's second album comes out in 1989, the very next year. It's Can't Fight Fate.
Mm-hmm.
A different look. She in the first album, she kind of had she was doing like this thing where she was like curling and straightening and crimping her hair.
Yeah, it was like all three. Very manic.
It was a lot. And so Can't Fight Fate, she's very tamed down. She looks more refined, if you will. Mm-hmm. You know, but looks more serious. I mean, Taylor Dayne, I think, is kind of known for very serious expressions. Really? Very serious facial expressions.
I always think
Have you ever seen her smile on any of her album covers?
That's very
true. She has a very serious face.
I just always think of her hair. Her hair sticks with me.
She's very intense. And that's probably my favorite thing about her.
Probably why the Russians loved her.
Yeah, there you go.
That's it right there. She never, yeah.
they are an intense people.
They are.
First single on Can't Fight Fate is With Every Beat of My Heart, which this is, again, goes back to what I said about just like, such a sign of the times 80s pop song. Like when you think 80s pop, like this, like when I think late 80s pop, this is the sound that I think.
Yeah. It's like that late 80s, early 90s, very transition pop song.
Yeah. A lot of like jangly, like, kind of like bell synth sounds. Yeah.
Also, it's like a very smooth melody and like,
yeah, for sure.
Oh, it's so good.
Very kind of light and airy, but it also sort of works. Like you can totally dance to it.
Oh yeah, definitely.
The next single on Can't Fight Fate is, to me, not even just Taylor Dayne's like magnum opus. This, to me, is like one of the most iconic pop songs ever written. Mm. Everybody knows this song. It is such a classic pop ballad. It's, of course, the Diane Warren penned Love Will Lead You Back. And you were mentioning earlier about how Taylor, you thought was never bigger than her music, but her singles were everywhere. And it's so true. because I think a fun thing to do, one thing I love to ask people is, what was the first song you remember hearing on the radio when you were a little kid?
Wow, that's a good question.
Yeah, this would be a good superlative show later on for one of our special episodes. Oh, but this is the one I always say. The first song I remember ever hearing that was like a current pop song is this song, Love Will Lead You Back.
Wow.
Which was like the summer of 1990.
Yeah.
Was when this was out.
Yeah, everyone knew this song. Mm-hmm. This was huge.
This was a number one, of course, in multiple countries. But yeah, this was Taylor's first U.S. number one. And it's, I mean, so well-deserved. It is, to me, like, this is a perfect song.
Yeah, that was like, Diane Warren was penning some good ones, especially back then.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just, it's such a beautiful song. Everyone knows it. It has so much emotion, but it's still so poppy. It's a great pop ballad.
And nobody could have sung this the way that she did.
Oh, she has a great voice.
Her vocal delivery is just so suited to this song. I mean, if you had given this to the wrong singer, it would have, I think, fallen flat on its face.
Yes, yeah, she has such powerful vocals.
Exactly. I mean, you have to carry this song so carefully. And that's something that I do love about Taylor. She has excellent control mm-hmm. of her voice. And I think this song is where it is most evident.
Yeah, she can go power and then bring it back. Power, bring it back. Yeah, she's which great.
Which is totally necessary to this. Mm-hmm. Third single off Can't Fight Fate is I'll Be Your Shelter, which Taylor actually did live the first mm-hmm. time I saw her. And yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty good. This is when the Taylor starts to like not be as huge and massive at this point. She still has hits,
yeah, but this like, was a big hit for her too. This is like
it's hard to top Level Lead You Back.
Yeah. It is hard to top Level Lead You Back. But no, I'll Be Your Shelter was also a big hit. This was number 4 on the Hot 100.
That was number 4?
Mm-hmm. It was a big old hit. And people who were like working in radio, especially like adult contemporary radio, they all remember this song.
Was it just played and played and played?
Yeah, it was like she kind of, I think, started dipping her toe into the pool of soul music at this point because this is like a very, very soulful song.
She has a good soul voice.
She does. And this was like her first single anyway that she would release that kind of dove into those waters.
Yeah, that'll get you on those adult contemporary charts.
Heart of Stone is the last single on Can't Fight Fate, the second album, and this was another ballady type song. I mean, the only upbeat single she released off this was With Every Beat of My Heart. But mm-hmm. Yeah, we're almost up to 1991 by now, chronologically. Wow. Yeah, even though the album came out in 89. Heart of Stone, still a top 20 single. This charted at number 12.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
I always think of these songs as like not really hits. They're like fine songs, and I figured, you know, they probably got some airplay. I didn't realize they charted so high. Good Lord.
But yeah, this is another kind of soft ballad mm-hmm. type song. A bit, it's more up tempo than Love Will Lead You Back, but still kind of a down tempo ballady type song.
There were a lot of those in the early 90s, though.
Yes.
Yeah, like Mariah Carey hitting it big with every ballad ever.
Or like then, Paula Abdul, Rush. That's another one.
Wilson Phillips.
Yes.
Everyone's got that sound. Yeah, like
the 90s pseudo ballad.
Yeah, there aren't a lot of pop eras that are balladful. It's hard to hit it with a ballad.
Not unless you go back to like the 70s.
Well, yeah, but that's
but who wants a whole other. Who the fuck wants to do that?
Well, depends on which one we're talking about. But I mean, it's yeah. I mean, it's hard to hit it with a ballad, and she hit it with quite a few. The early 90s, there are a lot of ballads, and it's weird.
So Taylor is on hiatus for a few years after that, getting her third album together, which I kind of mentioned that she was sort of like dipping her toe into the pool of soul music. And I didn't really think about it, but her third album is actually called Soul Dancing.
Oh!
So there you go.
There it is.
This was 1993, and also still Arista Records. Had another Diane Warren song on it that was not released as a single, which is called I Could Be Good For You. But we won't get into that. This was her last top 40 single to date, sadly.
No.
And it was a cover of all things. It seems like a little bit undignified for Taylor Dane, who's like had these massive hits on her own. And then, I don't know, it's just kind of funny that the last time she hit it big was with a cover of the Barry White song, Can't Get Enough of Your Love.
Soul. If you want to do soul, cover Barry White.
But she really likes to claim ownership of this song too. When we saw her live, she was like, "House music, I've been doing house music for all these years." It's like, well, okay. And you know, when she said that, I was kind of like, a lot of people were doing house music before this album, but I think that she may have been talking about like the Leslie singles. Now that I think about it,
do you think it never occurred to me? Yeah, I mean, I don't know. If she was talking about, she was like making it big with it. I mean, she kind of,
because I mean, she was doing house music on this Soul Dancing album for sure. I mean, Can't Get Enough of Your Love, that's it's a house cover of the song.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think if there are other people who were really doing that, or are these people who were doing house music that early and then stuck with it, or were doing house music from the beginning
by 1993.
Doing it from the beginning. I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, but of course there were. They were like club acts and DJs and whatnot, and just because they weren't hitting top 40. But yeah, house music was around since the early, mid-1980s. Yeah, I mean, that stuff popped up in Chicago.
Do you think she's talking about...
It just now occurred to me that she may have been talking about that Leslie, like when she was talking about I've been doing house music. Maybe she just meant that was like her roots personally as an artist.
Yeah, okay. That's probably what it was. I thought she was just like...
That's funny.
Just bragging.
It just now occurred to me when we were sitting here having this conversation.
Yeah, I just thought she was bragging. I just was like, okay, you do you.
So that Barry White house cover would be Taylor's last top 40 single, which is sad.
Love will lead her back to the charts, Max.
Love or perhaps another Diane Warren hit. Mm. I would love to talk about you getting your picture made with her, though, because we're going to post this picture up on our website. It's really funny, but please share.
Yeah, no, after the concert, she was like, hey, you can go over there to this white tent or whatever. And she had, like, merchandise or whatever. And I was like, oh, okay. So we go over there, like, oh, yeah, we can do a Taylor Dane t-shirt. And you only had to have cash, which I happen to have cash. But she was also giving away, you could take a picture with Taylor Dane for $20. So I was like, I have, like, $30 in my purse. I'm clearly getting a picture with Taylor Dane. And, of course, I have my dog, who, by the way, is, like, a German Shepherd. Not huge, but... not a tiny purse dog. So I go up there and I'm like, okay, can I have a picture with the dog? And like the dog wouldn't cooperate. And Taylor was like, I kept being like, hold on. I'm getting her up. And she was like, she really has to have this dog in the picture. And I was like, yes, I do. Yes, I do, Taylor. And so I got a picture with me and my German Shepherd, who's not even paying attention, and Taylor Dane. And it's fantastic, and I look like a maniac. And Taylor just, like, has a look on her face like, I do this all the time. And I'm like, I'm here. I'm a daniac, guys. Yeah, it was pretty good. We'll put it on the site. You can see how cute my dog is and how adorable and good-looking Taylor Dane still is. She's very tiny. I didn't expect her to be so tiny.
Oh, yeah, she's teeny tiny.
Yeah.
I want to mention, too, briefly, that she told a really interesting story, like, between songs that... She was a big supporter of the LGBT community because she had a surrogate mother, I guess, sometime, and she said there were legal hurdles, that the only state that she found that was legal for her to do it was in California, which I did not realize that was such a huge problem. But she said, she claims the only people that supported her at the time were her gay fans.
Wow. I mean, those laws have changed like crazy depending on when she had the kid. So, I mean, who knows? Yeah, she had twins, I think.
But that was surrogate. That was very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, technically, they would have been fighting for somewhat similar actions.
Indeed.
So they found a common ground.
Well, cool. Thanks, Taylor, for the support, and thanks for all the lovely songs.
Yeah, keep coming back. My dog wants to take more pictures with you,
yeah, Taylor. Yeah, Louisville loves you. The podcast loves you. Everybody loves you. Stick around. Keep doing what you do. You sound great. I mean, she still sounds amazing.
Look good. You can do that curly crimp straight thing again with
your hair. Oh, my God. I wish she would bring back the big hair. How cool would that be?
Yeah, I mean, it probably wouldn't be cool if she was, like, walking around the street. People would be like, this maniac.
I would love it.
I would love it. I'd be fine with it. Yeah.
Oh, Taylor.
The best.
In the meantime, tell us what you think the best is on our website, offbeattrackscast.com.
And we're on Twitter @ offbeattracks.
Yeah, we love hearing from you. So drop us a line.
Yes, please.
Tell it to our hearts.
Love will lead you back to our newsfeed.
We're not rushing you.
We'll always love you.
Aw, perfect. All right, until next time, I'm Max.
I'm Danielle.
See ya.